We're in the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. And we're dealing with chapter 8. And we have a handout. Okay, so here we have Lord is dealing with several individuals here. Certainly Pharaoh, as well as Moses and Aaron and the people of Israel and the Egyptians. So he deals with everybody. So it's not just about Pharaoh. It's about the hearts of everybody in the listening of the message then and the message today as well. So we're in Exodus chapter 8. 8 through 15. 8 through 15. And here is the account of the plague of the frogs. All right, so we have two opponents going on here, basically the Lord and Pharaoh. But the Lord's going to use Aaron, and Aaron as a mouthpiece for Moses. All right, so let's look how this starts off here. 8:1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. All right, so commentary, round two began. All right, both opponents still standing. The Lord took the offensive, which that's what he's doing, he's taking the offensive, with the same barrage as earlier. Moses was instructed with the demand of Pharaoh to let my people go. So we saw that way back there in 5:1. And let my people go, 5:1, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. All right, so that's an ongoing refrain, we might say. And 9 times it shows up in Exodus, let my people go. So the Lord hasn't given up on this. This is his plan. He wants to deliver them. But he's not going to do it immediately. He's going to draw this out. It's going to be a long battle. 10-round fight. Think of that. And so what's... he's going to deal with Pharaoh. All right, so 8:2, verse 2 through 5. If thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all the borders with the frogs, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into the bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into the kneading troughs, and the Lord and the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with the rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. So here we have a lengthy description of all this. So notice, first of all, the Lord gave the condition, the consequences, and the command. All right, so he's got a 3-point outline. So here we go. Of the second plague. All right, so these are plague or plagues. We notice expression there in chapter 9, 14, where 9:14. And I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants, upon thy people, and thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. All right, and I will stretch out my hand, and I will smite thee and thy people with the pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And so here a reference to the plagues, and again in 11:1, we're in 11:1, we have one plague more. And the Lord said unto Moses, 11:1, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go, and when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out henceforth, hence altogether. And so the Lord's going to bring about this to pass here. All right, so we've got plague, we've got plagues. So he gives the condition, first of all. First he said the condition with the conditional particle, if. So we read every word here. Verse 2, and if. So that's in Hebrew, conditional particle, if, for the potential refusal. So if you do this or if you don't do this. All right, there's a conditional particle. Secondly, Jehovah laid out the consequences. So notice the consequences. He goes into great detail. All the borders would be smitten with frogs. Now keep in mind here, Hekat was the frog goddess. So Hekat, frog goddess. So the many frogs would come from the Nile. Three, the frogs would invade the house, the bedchamber, the bed, the serpents, the servants' quarters, the people, Devons, frog legs, anyone? Think of that. All right, so every meal, frog legs. Mommy, what are we having for breakfast? Frog legs. Lunch, frog legs. Supper, frog legs. Oh, that's great. All right, so, and the kneading trowels, and come upon Pharaoh, the people, and all the servants. So even in the oven. So would that be what, frog bread? How's that? So I suppose in the bed, people wake up every morning with a frog in their throat. All right, so anyway. Third, the Lord gave the command to Aaron and Moses to stretch forth the rod over the streams, rivers, and ponds that caused the invasion of frogs throughout Egypt. So here they're going to invade the land. And so rather than some sort of a military army coming, they're going to have an army of frogs coming. All right, 6 and 7. Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land. So here Aaron obeyed in obedience to the Lord. Aaron did so, and frogs covered Egypt except for Goshen. So remember now, the Jews were in the land of Goshen. That's up there in the a beautiful land there in Egypt, a lot of streams, but all the green grass for the cattle and so on. That takes back to Genesis chapter 48, 49, that section there, and 47 for the matter. And then also takes forward here as where they were. And so in 8:22, the very chapter we're looking at here, Lord says, and I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which many people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And then again in 9:26, he says, only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. So keep in mind, in this account, Moses and Aaron go and meet Pharaoh, and then they have to go back to Goshen. So there in Egypt, there's hail, but for Moses and Aaron to go back to Goshen, where there was no hail, how did they make that back without having to go through the hail? Maybe the Lord isolated the hail, so, or they had special umbrella or something, but anyway, they had to go back to Goshen. So, all right, so we're back here to our passage here in 6 and 7. And so everywhere there, the croaking, crawling critters crept continually covering the country. All right, so we got them everywhere. And then here we have our Janus and Jambres. So here are the brilliant magicians there. So scripture says here, and the magicians did so with their enchantments. See, Pharaoh, what we can do? We can produce frogs. They're not the only ones that can produce frogs. We can produce frogs. Oh, this is great. This is great. And so the mindless magicians made muddy migrants meandering among the men, ministering more misery. All right. Yeah, there you go. So I'm trying to be attention getting here. Everybody awake? All right. So they did. So here's the basic word for accomplishing something, work and so on. They did so and brought up additional frogs attempting to duplicate the miracle. All right. So they did that earlier back there in 722. And the magicians of Egypt did so with enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. So here they're trying to duplicate Moses. So no doubt they prayed to Heket for more frogs to show their supposed power, since the ubiquity of frogs, that means frogs everywhere, was not enough. Jannes and Jambres attempted to stone Moses with more frogs. It's a clever move. I mean, this is brilliant. More frogs. See, we can do it. All right. So what was Pharaoh thinking there? These magicians, what are they doing? Might as well fire them. They're just worthless. Anyway. And in 8:8. So then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from the people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord." So here were in this battle with the Lord, Pharaoh was. And so Pharaoh recognized he was in a serious fight with the body blows, the tiny army of invading frogs. We're starting to have an impact. All right, so notice now, he calls out to Moses and Aaron. So entreat the Lord. Now notice the word Lord here is Jehovah. So he expresses the name Jehovah. So back there in 6:3, we saw that. Back 6:3 says, "And I appeared unto Abraham and Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." So remember now, in the next section here, we went through this, the Lord gives seven I wills, demonstrating who he was. And he's showing that he is the God of all nature. He's superior to the deities of Egypt. And his men are Moses and Aaron. So he's making this clear. So now, Pharaoh is ready to respond to Moses and Aaron. And they say, "Entreat the Lord." So now, Pharaoh could have cried out to the Lord himself, but no, he wants to go through these men here. "That he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord." So remember, initially, he said, "No, you're just trying to get out of work. And you don't want you and your people to have to do the work to go into the wilderness to sacrifice." But now he realizes in his plea here, "And I'll let them go. I'll let them go sacrifice here." So he recognized this. And the plague here was having an impact on him. He acknowledged that Moses and Aaron had supernatural power and that Jehovah needed to be entreated. He made a request and promise. So he made the request here and the promise. "You eliminate the frogs and the Jews may sacrifice to the Lord." So here we see a man who's not honorable to his promise. So he says, "I'll let him go if you take away the frogs." And so he's at their mercy. Now in 9 through 11, let's notice, Moses said unto Pharaoh, "Glory over me." That's an interesting expression, "glory over me." What's he saying there? What's he saying there? So the big question here is, which opponent, Moses or Pharaoh, was testing the other? So this is a test, going on here. Who was testing whom? Pharaoh tested Moses about the extent of his power. So, all right, we got the frogs here, but now do you have the power to get rid of them? And does your Jehovah have the power to get rid of them? So there's the test. But Moses gave Pharaoh the upper hand. in choosing the appointed time. So when he says, glory over me, he's basically saying, Pharaoh, you have honor over me, and you set the appointed time. I'm going to submit myself to you, and you set the appointed time. So, Pharaoh, when do you want this to happen? I'm going to let you have glory or honor over me in the discussion. That's what he means, that glory over me. All right? And so he says, when? When should we do this? You call the time. You call it. Now, later, midnight, next day, 2 weeks from now. When do you want to have it done? I'll do it. So here we see Moses. Of course, he has to have faith in the Lord. Lord, okay, he's giving me the time, so I'm trusting you. You'll help out, honor this. But see, Moses has gotten to a place where he says, all right, I'll let Pharaoh have the upper hand. He's going to decide when we're going to do this. All right, so basically saying, you decide, Pharaoh. You decide in the confrontation here. So Moses, when shall I pray to Jehovah for the end of the frog plague? Pharaoh set the time, tomorrow. So Moses could have said, no, I'll do it right now. But then Moses would have taken the upper hand. But no, he didn't want to do that. So he wanted to show that whenever Pharaoh dictated the time, he was up to the task. Really, the Lord was up to the task. And so he makes this expression there. Since Jehovah could remove the frogs at any time, Pharaoh would learn the exclusivity of the Lord God. So if he would have said 8 o'clock in the morning, all right, be 8 o'clock. No, 9 o'clock, right? 9 o'clock, doesn't matter. Lord was up to the task, and he's going to use his man Moses to accomplish this. So so Pharaoh learned the exclusivity of the Lord, that this wasn't some magic or something like this. So Moses promised that the frogs would remain in the Nile. That's what you see there in verse 9, that they may remain in the Nile only. All right, so no more frogs out of the Nile. So Hekek would have to have her frogs back, all dead and stinking. Well, there you go, Hekek. What do you think about that? Now, see, if you recall, the Lord was able to do miracles at a certain time, as in killing 185,000 Assyrians in one night. That's our Second Kings passage. So that's a good passage of faith here that we can look at. Second Kings chapter 19, 35. So... And the passage says, it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead. So it's nothing to the Lord. We have to trust him, and none of these extreme miracles are beyond him. He can produce them. He produced it here. All right, so... the Lord could do this. All right, so we'll return the frogs. All right, then 12 through 15, we notice that Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses and out of the villages and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. And when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. All right, so in this we see, first of all, the dual men left the presence of Pharaoh and cried. So here's a strong verb that is used here. Moses cried unto the Lord, which indicates earnest crying, intensity. So he had to trust the Lord. Lord, I've gone out on a limb. I've gave Pharaoh the opportunity here. So, you know, Moses writing the book, he's also living through the experience. So he didn't read the book and then go through the experience. See how it worked out. He went through the experience and then he wrote the book. Right? So he wasn't sure how this was going to work out. He believed the Lord, trusted the Lord, and so on. So he prays in great earnest with intensity. So you think of this. He sees miracle after miracle happening, but still he has human responsibility to pray. He couldn't say, all right, Lord, this is all yours. You do it. I'm not praying. No, he prayed with great intensity and earnest expectation that the Lord would do something here for him. And so Moses mentioned in Hebrews, man of faith. The just shall live by faith. So by faith, Moses had to trust the Lord through the whole process of the plagues, learning who Jehovah was. So remember, he had to learn through plague one, plague two, plague three, all the way through 10 plagues. He had to learn all the way through. Moses did. Aaron did. The Jewish people did. And Pharaoh did. The Egyptian people did as well. So they all had to learn. So on the morrow, the Lord honored Moses according to the word of Moses. So notice the expression there, verse 13. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. So who's orchestrating the plagues? The Lord's doing this, but Moses is in prayer. And so the Lord answered according to Moses. So Moses stepped out by faith. The Lord honored his faith, and the Lord was going to bring the frogs to an end on the morrow. So notice, according to the word of Moses, as Moses had honored Pharaoh according to thy word. That's back in verse 10. So you see, Moses honored Pharaoh's word. You tell me what time? Tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow this is going to be done. He honored Pharaoh's time. The Lord honored Moses when Moses had faith in the Lord. And so he honors us when we trust him and his word. We trust him. He honors us. As we honor the Lord and his word, he honors us. And he doesn't have to, but he does, because he wants to give us honor when we give him honor. He reciprocates. He reciprocates. So the frogs died throughout the houses, villages, and fields. So which was worse, in the bed chambers and beds? So here's something to think about. Living frogs or dead frogs? Now think of that. Frogs got in the house. They're all jumping all over the place, Pharaoh's house, and then they all die. So let's see, do I want a living frog in my bed tonight or a dead frog in my bed tonight? So I just don't want to wake up with a frog in my throat, right? All right, so I have to keep focused there now. Anyway, so the... we see the Lord then is going to honor this. And so, verse 13, the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died in the houses and so on. And they gathered them together upon heaps. So notice now what the Lord does. Nevertheless, the Egyptians had to do more hard labor. Now remember, that's what they were bringing the Jews into, hard labor. But wait a minute, what happened to the hard labor for the Jews? Well, Jews were taking a little vacation here, while the Egyptians, they had to go around and get all the dead frogs and put them in piles and so on. So who's doing the hard labor now? So this kind of incidental blessing as well. And so by gathering the frogs in heaps, causing a great stink. Can you imagine that? So where was sweet Hekek when she was needed? Remember, that's the deity that's being shown up here. So, Hekek, what have you done? You've stunk up the whole land. Maybe we'll stop worshiping you. All right. Did they die on her statues and so on? All right, so here we have the Lord works here. And so when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So Jehovah was in control and allowed the respite so Pharaoh's heart could be hardened. And so when there was a respite, would Pharaoh then have faith in Jehovah and in his servants, Moses and Aaron, that they were true and legitimate? So would he harden his heart in faith, or would he harden his heart in unbelief? And so talk about unbelief. Where'd these frogs come from? Where'd they come from? And then how did they die at the very time I asked for them to die? And so he sees a supernatural miracle going on here, and he's not going to let the people go. So the Lord's going to have to deal with him again. So he's hardening his heart. So we have plague number one. Now plague number two, he's hardening his heart, getting harder and harder in unbelief. So what's happening to Moses? What's happening to Moses' heart? See, so plague number one, Moses hardened his heart. Did he harden it in unbelief or faith? Faith. Then he goes back. Plague number two. Did he harden his heart in unbelief or faith? He hardened it in faith. So he's hardening his heart and Aaron and the Jewish people. And apparently some of the Egyptians, because we have a mixed multitude later on going with the Jews. So we see the Lord's wisdom here. So the Lord gives us opportunities in life, and they come along. And so we face challenges in our life of all sorts, and we're either going to face them as hardening our heart in unbelief or in belief. And so he wants us to grow, and so he gives us challenges. Pray for the challenges. We see answers prayer. Our hearts hardened in faith. But in some cases, it may be hardened in unbelief. He never answered this prayer. He's not answering this one. He's not answering this one. Why should I believe in God? No, he wants us to harden our heart in faith. And he will answer according to his will. Not our will, but his will. And when he does, we are hardened in faith and belief. And so here we see round two goes on. And Pharaoh's still standing, adamant. But we've got some more rounds coming up, and eventually he's going to fall. And so we'll have to come back for this 10-round fight, see how it works out. But we can thank the Lord for his wisdom here, how he repudiated Pharaoh and Pharaoh's deities through this judgment. And what a cursed judgment that would have been to have frogs all over the place. But nevertheless, Lord intervened. And so he was doing this on purpose. He did this against the Nile deity, now against the frog deity. There's some other deities that are going to have to fall. So the plagues deal with the deities and with Pharaoh as well. Our Father, we pray that you bless us now. We thank you for the time to open the Word of God. Help us learn from this and learn the lessons as Moses was strengthening his heart as he trusted the Lord. And as we will have to do all the way through our whole life, trust the Lord and harden our heart in faith and die as a strong believer in the Lord. Pray that you'll bless us and help us now. We ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.